I'm excited about this morning. God's given me a good word, and you know, it's interesting that all week it's been just on my heart. We'll give him a minute to get organized. Praise God. Bye. You know, it's amazing when God speaks to you about something. Many times what happens is it hits your spirit, but then you don't get it all in your mind yet. It takes a little while for it to really become reality. Yeah, I feel really tempted to say, this is my iPad. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Praise God. Amen. Welcome to the 21st century. Amen. Glory to God. We actually are doing, we're really just spending time in the book of Acts. And the reason for it is because I have said this before, that it seems to me that the Christians who were living during their time had a different brand of Christianity than what the majority of Christians are experiencing today. And I believe as we study these things and we see the truth of what God did in their lives, knowing that he's no respecter of persons, and knowing that he has said that the glory of the latter house, speaking of the temple of God in the Old Testament, would be greater than the former, we have an idea that whatever we see here in Scripture, we should at least experience what they experienced and more. And so I believe that if anything, this is going to whet your appetite. And it's interesting, at the start of the year, I've really felt impressed of the Lord to just begin to do some fasting regularly. And that's something that I want to continue to do, because I believe, you know, when the disciples brought to Jesus this demon-possessed young boy, and they were unable to cast out the devil, Jesus later, privately, they asked him, why could we not do this? And he said, first of all, he says, because you're unbelief. And then he says, however, this kind does not go out but by prayer and fasting. So prayer and fasting has a place. When we focus, we make a concerted, not an effort, but we focus on the fact that we see something in God's Word that may not be our experience, and we are determined to see that circumstance change to where our experience begins to match what Scripture says. That's the way things should be. You know, what the church has done many times is we have come up with excuses why we're not experiencing what the Bible says. But those excuses aren't good enough. We need to come into place that if my experience is below to what God's Word says, my experience has to come up, because God's not going to change his mind. And so, you know, I've started to spend a bit of time, and I fasted a couple of days this last week. And like Danielle said, as soon as I had completed that, the phone started ringing. And there were some people that, you know, I had opportunity to minister to. Two people, Sue Johnson, she took me along to some people. I don't know where we went. We were driving along. I got in the car with her, and we ended up, and there were some other people also with us, and we ended up in someone's home. Some people that are not churchgoers, shared with them the gospel, and then had opportunity to minister to them. And the husband, who has never, as far as I know, attended church, God really touched him. He was very teary. He was, you know, and we were ministering to his wife. There was another couple there. We ministered to them too. And then, of course, 2 days later, I had another call that was on Friday to go to the hospital. There was a young couple here in Toowoomba. They airlifted the baby who was basically the body become lifeless. Temperature had dropped way down of the little baby. The limbs were just limp. And they had flown it to Brisbane, and so they'd asked us to come in and pray, and of course we felt to do so. So we went up, so they brought us into the ICU unit, and explained to the nurse what I was going to do. I'm going to put my hands on this baby. I said, I want to get my hands on that baby. And they said, that's okay. So prayed out, you know, released the power of God. felt the power of God, just moved mightily. You know, you get a witness in your spirit, this is going to be okay. And so I told him at some point, I said, well, I'm done. I've done my thing. And so we've been outside and encouraged the parents of this couple who are believers. They were there. We encouraged them to make sure that what comes out of your mouth lines up with what we've been doing. And since then, the baby's just going from strength to strength. This baby is alive and well. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, get excited, because I tell you what, I believe we're going to see all that more and more and more. It's going to become commonplace. Amen. And hearing testimonies. And Sue, of course, he's keeping a record of all these things. And what I like is when, you know, at some point when we get the medical science to confirm and say, yes, this is a miracle. Well, we get it written down, and we have Sue working on what I call the gospel according to Sue Johnson. Amen? Amen. And it's, you know, I believe it's a good thing to record those things, to keep record. The Bible says not to forget his benefits. Don't forget the good works God does. Why is that important? It's good to go back at times and to reread what God has done. That'll encourage your faith. It'll encourage you, that's right. It's amazing how your mind almost rejects many of the things that God does because it can't compute it. You can have a powerful thing happen in your life, and yet a few weeks later, you hit a circumstance, and you forget all about it, and all you can remember is the trouble. And you say, oh, you know, all the trouble I go through, and this has happened before, but you forgot how God actually showed up in a circumstance. You have to jolt your memory and say, hang on a minute. You know, the thing about the thing that made God angry with the children of Israel is that they forgot his works. They forgot his miracles. Every time they got into a problem, they didn't say, hey, we've been here before. Last time God actually provided food for us. He gave us water when we didn't. Know what they do? Oh, no, we're going to die. Every time. And God wasn't pleased with it. In fact, he wasn't pleased with any of them, except two. Acts chapter 18, let's go there. This is a powerful account of what happened in the city of Corinth and how a church was established. And of course, we have two epistles that Paul wrote to that church. And really, this is the birth of that church and how it took place. Verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila from Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them, Paul being the one who came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. When they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there, and he entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, interesting name, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. The scripture I'm going to look at with you today is especially verse 5. It says, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit, or another translation says, in his spirit, he was compelled in his spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. My message this morning is entitled, The Power in Agreement and the Mystery of Two. The Power in Agreement and the Mystery of two. I am aware that most of us understand the importance of agreement in prayer, but we're going to take it up a notch because I really believe that God wants to speak to us about the importance of agreement and how important it is for you to have someone that you can come in agreement with. The arrival of Silas and Timothy changes gears for Paul. Paul has arrived in Corinth and he has been persuading, the Bible says, both Jews and Greeks. But now when Silas arrives, it says when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit. That's the moment that something happens. He goes from persuading or reasoning to testifying. That means to give evidence. Later on, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, when I came to you, I didn't come with persuasive words of human wisdom, declaring to you the counsel of God. He says, but I came to you, what? In demonstration of the Spirit and with power. That's the place where it changed. He switches from simply persuading Jews to now testifying, giving evidence with power. And the moment of change was when Silas and Timothy arrived. Now, what was it about Silas that made Paul change? You know what it is? Paul had some history with Silas. Paul had been in Ephesus with Silas when, they'd been preaching there. They got jailed there. They got beaten there. And they also began to have some worship meeting there in the jail. The Bible says they were in the prison. They began to worship God. What happened? A supernatural earthquake shook that prison off its foundations and all the doors blew off their hinges. And all the prisoners that were bound were loosed. Well, they went through that experience together. It's an interesting thing that because they experienced that together, it did something for their relationship. It did something in their spiritual walk. And when Silas arrives on the scene in the city of Corinth, the moment he arrives, it changes Paul's whole perspective towards ministering to people. It lifts him up. Isn't that interesting? How that your association with people can actually change the way that you look at things. You know, your experience with someone actually determines how you act in their company. Isn't that amazing? In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul speaks of an incident where Peter, the apostle, the great apostle Peter, had come from Jerusalem to Antioch. And while he was there, he was eating with Gentiles. But as other Jews arrived from Jerusalem, something happens with Peter. He no longer wants to eat with Gentiles. He separates himself with the other Jewish believers and only has dinner with them. And Paul says even Barnabas was pulled away by what he calls their hypocrisy. And of course, Paul spoke up, as he would do, and told them what he thought about their way of segregating and making a difference between Jews and Gentiles. But the point is this, that Peter became uncomfortable when he came in the presence of people that had a different perspective, and it actually took away from his liberty that he had in Christ. Isn't that amazing? That certain relationships will pull you down and bring you in a place of unbelief because the experience that you've had with these people has not been one in faith. Am I making any sense? And so what happens is that, you know, that instead of propelling you into a place where you will have boldness to believe God, it actually brings you to a place where you back off and become timid. You know, a work situation can be like that. It is possible for you as a believer to be a different person on Monday among your colleagues than what you are in church. Because the experience you've had with your colleagues is not one where you have a freedom in the things of God. Now, I'm not saying one or the other. I'm not blaming anybody here. I'm just saying, as a matter of fact, that is what we experience. I remember some years ago, I was in Africa with a South African, in Uganda, with a South African minister. We became very good friends during that time. We didn't really know each other, but during the time we were in Uganda, we did some meetings with some pastors' meetings. And I remember one night, neither of us were ministering, but we were sitting on the platforms. We had another guy with us there from Northern Ireland, and he was ministering. And he was a little dry. He was just sharing some scriptures, and you know, it was good, but it was a little dry. It was just, and we'd had a lot of meetings, and we were getting a little bit sleepy, I think. And so what happened at some point, I don't exactly know how it happened, but I remember John Potter, my friend, he touches me as he looked over. He wanted to say something to me. As he touches me, I look over, and the joy of the Lord hit me. And I fell out of my chair. I'm on the platform, and I fall on the ground. I begin to laugh, and he falls over the top of me, and he also begins to laugh. And, well, before you knew it, the whole place got out of control. Our good friend still tried to do some preaching, but it was no use because the Holy Spirit came into that place and all the ministers got touched. And that's really what they needed. They'd come from so many different places. It was just a mighty move of God. So John and I had shared an amazing experience there. About a year later, he visited Northern Ireland. We were in the Bible college at the time, and I knew he was coming that day, but I was doing some other things, and so I was a little bit late for the meeting where he was speaking to the students. He was already in the meeting, and so about probably 15, 20 minutes into his ministry, I sneaked in the door, and I found a seat, and the moment he looked up, he looks at me, and he begins to laugh, and I begin to laugh. Well, this continued on. Anytime there was a meeting, whether it was me or him speaking, he'd say, every time he looked at me, he said, "You got to stop this." I said, "You got to stop this." What was that? We had shared an experience in God that somehow got triggered every time we got together. Now, that is what agreement does between believers. There's something very powerful about you and I having experiences in God, in faith, that do something that I can call you in the middle of the night and say, "Hey, listen, I need you to agree with me." And you say, "You know what? I'm there with you right now." Why? Because there's agreement in faith. That's why when the Bible speaks about coming in agreement, it's not just saying, "Well, can you agree with me when we pray this little prayer?" No, it is a connection in the heart. It's a connection in the spirit. I know that I can look to you in this circumstance because you're at the same place with me. We've spiritually met. You know, I've met people for the very first time. Never seen them before. And the moment I meet them, I remember I was in Malaysia one time in KL. And, you know, we'd arrived there. There wasn't much happening. And we were praying about it. I was not happy because we had this big schedule. I had taken a whole group of guys with me. We were there for 3 weeks. And basically after 2 days, it looked like nothing was going to happen. And this minister walks in, young minister walks in the door of the house where we're staying. The moment he walks through the door, I looked at him and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And the guy was staying, he said, "You know each other?" I said, "Yeah, I think I do. I think I do." And you know, this young minister, he was a mighty man of God. And he opened so many doors. Him and I had so many wonderful times together. Great things that happened during that time we were together because we clicked in the spirit. I've never understood it when I meet other ministers and they check you out. Who are you with? What do you believe? Who's your covering? Forget it. Forget it. You're not in agreement with me. You're just walking in the natural mind. You need to get your mind renewed. That's what you need to do. But see, when you know a person in the spirit, there's agreement there. Devil, watch out. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, even Paul, the great apostle, experiences a shifting in gears because of an agreement that he has with his buddy Silas. And, of course, out of this we know that a church is born. You know, when you look into that, I really encourage you to read it, because you find when Paul is traveling, he has told some of the other people he was with, he said, get Silas and Timothy. Send them over. He goes to Athens and he flounders. He falters in Athens. You read the account in Acts 17. He doesn't pull off anything in Athens. In fact, he's out of there real quick. Why? He's not doing too well without Silas. Isn't that amazing? I won't say anything else about that, but that's what I see. Okay. Deuteronomy 32 verse 30. This is the mystery of two. The Bible says one can chase 1,000. And two shall put how many? 2,000? Hey, what happens? One can chase 1,000, two, or 10,000. That's not natural mathematics. You don't need to be very smart to figure that out. Something happens when two come together. It's God's way of breakthrough. It's God's way of bringing you into a place of victory. It's right throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. In the Old Testament, they send out the spies two by two. The disciples were sent out two by two, not three by three, two by two. Say two. God established in the creation that all the animals were made out of pairs of two. When he made Adam, well, he made him in his image, so he made him as one. But God said it wasn't good for man to be alone, so he took something out of Adam and then made it into a woman and made them two. Listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one. This is Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. In the book of Revelation, we see that there are two witnesses, not one, but two, who have power to bring judgment on the earth. They can change the oceans into blood. They can shut up the heavens and no rain falls. We find examples of people acting alone throughout Scripture and the difficulties associated with it. Elijah, at some point he wants to die because he feels, I'm alone. I'm the only one left. He's a great prophet. He's doing miracles. He's opposing that horrible woman, Jezebel. And he's winning. And yet he gets to a place where he, in his loneliness, says, God, I want to die. And God, of course, what he does, he brings Elisha alongside him. King David commits adultery. Why? He was tempted while he was on the rooftop alone. Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus on his own. Wasn't two, it's just him by himself. The testimony of two. Under the law, we see that judgment could not be administered on the testimony of one. It had to be two or three. You say, well, that's just a natural law. No, it isn't. Matthew 18, verse 19 through 20, this is the agreement of two. Jesus said, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything. If you've been in this church for some time, you will know Matthew 18, 19. Whenever I pray with people, you will hear me say Matthew 18, 19. I'd like you to remember that verse. What is it? If two of you shall agree on earth concerning what? Some things? Anything. That's huge. How big is anything? That's huge. You got it, Brendan. Anything that they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. The agreement of two. In the Old Testament, they could not pass judgment on the basis of the testimony of one. It had to be two or three. Now in the New Testament, Jesus, in relation to that scripture, says, if two of you will agree, what happens? We'll get back to that in just a moment. The word agree that Jesus uses there is the Greek word symphoneo, where we get our word symphony from. It literally means harmony, to harmonize. You know what happens when you're almost in harmony? You're off key. When people sing almost in harmony, it don't sound very good. You can tell harmony. It sounds really beautiful. You can tell. That's harmony. Perfect harmony. Just beautiful sound. Don't even need any other instruments. Just the harmony. A cappella. It's beautiful. But if it's almost harmony, if it's almost agreement, it's not going to happen. It doesn't sound very good. Agreement is the testimony of two, listen to me, that releases heaven's desire into the situation. The agreement of two, agreement is the testimony of two that say, Lord, we are here as one, two witnesses of what your word says about this situation. God says we're going to pass judgment in a good way. There's sickness or disease there. Okay, you and I come into agreement. Hey, the Bible says by his stripes we're healed. This is not supposed to be there. Sickness and disease was dealt with at the cross. We are witnesses. God says, okay, we have reason to endorse heaven's judgment on the works of the devil. And we see healing coming in. I'm not saying that you cannot pray by yourself. I'm not saying that. Don't advocate that. Don't go away from me and say, well, Pastor Steve said you can never pray by yourself. No. I just want to show you the power of agreement. That it is a biblical principle that I frankly believe as believers we haven't taken much advantage of. We struggle so much in life in a lot of situations because we're not drawing on the power that is in agreement. God has established it as a spiritual law. It is established in the old and its true meaning is revealed in the new. That when you and I come in agreement, things begin to happen. That's why it's important to know other believers, to be connected with other believers. I'm emphasizing believer, not unbelieving believers. There are certain people I would not call if you paid me if I'm in trouble. Why? Because they cannot help me. I've been in situations, I've been in churches, you know, where you're in a crisis and you phone them and you say, listen, this person is dying. Can you agree with me? Have you called the doctor? Listen, they're dying right now. Can you agree with me? No, basically. They can't do it. That is a very scary situation. God's desire is that you have knowledge of other people. You know other people you can stand in agreement with. You're in a church here with believers, praise God. I'm not saying there's no believers in other churches, but I'm saying that I really like the idea that you can pick up the phone, whether you could call me, and if I'm out of town, but you can call other people that you know in this church, and you say, listen, I know when I ask them to agree with me, I've got a believer on the other end that can stand in agreement with me. And see breakthrough. See the will of God done. See God's judgment passed on things that are out of control. Why do we use the word judgment? Well, Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Speaking of his death on the cross. Now, that was then, the prince of this world is cast out. Satan was removed legally from his place of authority in this earth. The moment when Jesus said it is finished. And whenever two believers come into a situation in agreement, they witness together Say, Lord, we have testimony that this is contrary to your will, and we're agreeing for your will to be endorsed in this situation. It's a done deal. Heaven's power is released into that circumstance. When you face a crisis, make sure you have another person who is standing in agreement with you. You know, my wife's not here, and normally I make a little fun of her when she's not here, but I won't do that today. Because some of you are daubing on me. I know. You know what? I am blessed to have a wife that will agree with me. I know that her and I have gone through our spiritual battles in circumstances where I'm so glad she's standing alongside me and says, honey, we need to agree. And I know when she agrees with me, we are standing together. She really is a mighty spiritual companion to me. And, you know, God wants to give that to you too. Amen. You husbands and wives, encourage one another. When you face a battle together, stick together. Go through it together. Come out the other end in victory together. Amen. Because you will come into a place with one another spiritually that will bring you in a different place. Amen. And if you haven't got that, well, you know what? There's plenty of other believers here that you can link arms with and where you can stand in agreement with to see things happen. Amen. To see things breaking through. Agreement of two believers is the basis for heaven's intervention. In this church, I'll end with this, you will find people who have experiences in faith and breakthrough who can agree with you in any situation. Say amen to that. You know what? I just, when I even look around here, I see faces of people. Some of you have only known for a short time, but I know your heart. And I know I can come in agreement with you in situations. I believe that one of the things that we're going to see happen more and more increasingly in this church is that we see the prayer of agreement produce great results and bring great testimony to the fact that God has settled some things in heaven and we can draw on it. Amen. Amen. You believe that? Why don't you stand? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have I really preached that long? I don't know. Okay, Father, we just want to thank you this morning. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the power of the prayer of agreement. We thank you, Father, for the power that is in believers coming in agreement. Let me just say this, it just hits me now. The reason that agreement is so important is because that is the atmosphere in heaven. There is never any disagreement in heaven. Disagreement is the work of the enemy. Disharmony, disunity, discord, it is the work of Satan. But as you walk in harmony, as you walk in agreement, as you stand firm on the promises of God, you will see the same atmosphere that is in heaven endorsed into your circumstance. God has never put up with disagreement in his presence. Neither should you and I. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have given us the keys of the kingdom of God. And here's a key. This is a key. The key of agreement between believers based on the will of God. We don't agree on just anything. We agree on what your word says. So, Father, I just pray for this word to be good seed and good ground, to produce harvest, to produce miracles, to produce breakthroughs, to produce change in circumstances. To the glory of God, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, you may have to get the CD and listen to it again. There's a lot in there. I don't think I've got it all. I'll be honest with you. As I said at the beginning, I felt that you know, the Spirit of God opened something up to me, and I thought, whoa, this is a lot bigger than what I can realize. And it's often that way when revelation comes. It comes to the extent that you can handle it. But I believe there's a lot more there. And I think there's a lot more that God wants to do in our lives. It's like an open door that He's giving us and say, hey, listen, there's a way out here. There's a way through here. Amen. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week.